Welcome to the VAT update for May 2015. And as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes, which in themselves contain links to the original documents and websites should you wish to do further research. This month, we've only got 4 items, and that's probably because we're effectively in a period of purdah. Purdah started about 6 weeks before the general election, but it will continue until the new incoming Conservative government makes its budget and its fiscal intentions clear. But this week, there's some good news for certain charities. HMRC issued a new notice, 1001, which explains the VAT rules that apply to charities, enabling them to obtain refunds of VAT. Qualifying charities are those that provide palliative care, air ambulance services and search and rescue services and medical courier charities, and they will be able to reclaim VAT on their non-business activities. So if you're involved in such a charity, I recommend the notice is well worth a read. The European Court has given a very interesting ruling in respect of Poland, where the standard rate of VAT is 23%, but the case concerned whether supplies made by a landlord, which was included in the overall rental payments and covered utilities such as electricity, water and waste, where a single composite supply of the rental agreement, in which case it was 23%, or whether the VAT treatment could benefit from reduced rates such as 8% on water in Poland. Now, the underlying point of principle applies equally in the UK, where water and sewage would be zero rated and reduced rates would apply to a lot of power. I'm not even going to attempt the Polish names because I would be unable to give any legitimate pronunciation, but it is all set out in the notes. And in essence, the fiscal authorities in Poland were trying to say it was a composite supply, all taxed at 23%. And the judge basically ruled that provided you itemise the services separately, then you can get the benefit of reduced rates on the utilities being supplied by the landlord. There's another anonymised decision given at the First Tier Tribunal by Barbara Mosdale involving a partnership dispute and whether or not the partnership was able to recover the input tax on the legal fees which it incurred in considering the dispute. Now, the dispute didn't go to court and was resolved, but the clients of the lawyers were the individuals and not the partnerships, and it was clear that the lawyers billed the individuals, and those individuals then sought reimbursement of the legal fees which they'd incurred from the continuing partnership. Like that previous Polish case, which shows that if you itemise items separately, you can get the benefit of reduced rate. In this case, what is clear is if the lawyers had charged the partnership, they would probably have been able to recover the input VAT. But in this case, it failed the test because the lawyers were clearly supplying their clients with legal advice, and indeed the engagement letter issued by the lawyers made it crystal clear that no other person was able to use the advice. And consequently, when the partners as individuals sought reimbursement for the legal fees from the partnership, it failed and they couldn't recover the input tax. In tax, it's very important to remember that old tenet, it ain't what you do, it's the way that you do it. And this is an illustration of how not to do it. If you're seeking legal advice, which is always a well-known risk area where HMRC will challenge the detail, you must make sure that it's organised correctly. Because the lawyers had made their invoices direct to the individuals, there was not a valid tax invoice to support the claim for reimbursement of input tax by the partnership. And so it was inevitable that the FTT would uphold the HMRC decision to refuse the recovery of input tax. There's also a very interesting decision of the Upper Tribunal which sets legal precedent, and it concerns whether a property transfer arrangement between a property company and a charity worked. To be effective, there had to be a transfer of a going concern on the property which had been the subject of an election to waive exemption from VAT. And the buyers were the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Healthcare. Now, it failed actually in the detail of being a transfer of a going concern, TOGC. But the interesting point in this case is that all of the information had been given by way of documentary form to HMRC on May 2009, but HMRC failed to act on that information and then introduced an argument that they hadn't got all the information until the assessing officer saw it at a much later date, although there was a finding of fact that all of the information and relevant documents had been given. So when the Upper Tribunal considered the case, they overturned the first-tier tribunal's decision that it was a transfer of a going concern on the basis that no part of the vendor's business had been transferred to the purchaser, but assets had been transferred. But they then said the HMRC were out of time and had not been able to introduce any evidence to argue for a later time period. It's an interesting decision and well worth a read. Thanks very much for listening.